Bibles, please, for our second reading, which is Ezekiel 48. Excuse me. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now these are the names of the tribes from the north end to the coast of the way of Hethlon, as one goeth to Hamath: Hazar Enon, the border of Damascus northward to the coast of Hamath. For these are his sides, east and west, a portion for Dan. And by the border of Dan, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Asher. And by the border of Asher, from the east side even unto the west side, a portion for Naphtali. And by the border of Naphtali, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Manasseh. And by the border of Manasseh, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Ephraim. And by the border of Ephraim, from the east side even unto the west side, a portion for Reuben. And by the border of Reuben, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Judah. And by the border of Judah, from the east side unto the west side, shall be the offering which ye shall offer of 25,000 reeds in breadth and in length, as one of the other parts, from the east side unto the west side, and the sanctuary shall be in the midst of it. The oblation that ye shall offer unto the Lord shall be of 25,000 in length, and of 10,000 in breadth. And for them, even for the priests, shall be this holy oblation: toward the north 25,000 in length, and toward the west 10,000 in breadth, and toward the east 10,000 in breadth, and toward the south 25,000 in length, and the sanctuary of the Lord shall be built in the midst thereof. And it shall be for the priests that are sanctified, the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray, when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. And this oblation of the land that is offered shall be unto them a thing most holy by the border of the Levites. And over against the border of the priests, the Levites shall have 25,000 in length and 10,000 in breadth, and the length shall be 25,000 and the breadth 10,000. And they shall not sell of it, neither exchange nor alienate the first fruits of the land, for it is holy unto the Lord. And the 5,000 that are left in the breadth over against the 25,000 shall be a profane place for the city, for dwelling, and for a place for the city, for dwelling, and for suburbs. And the city shall be in the midst thereof. And these shall be the measures thereof: the north side 4,500, and the south side 4,500, and on the east side 4,500, and the west side 4,500. And the suburbs of the city shall be toward the north 250, and toward the south 250, and toward the east 250, and toward the west 250. And the residue in length over against the oblation of the holy portion shall be 10,000 eastward and 10,000 westward. And it shall be over against the oblation of the holy portion, and the increase thereof shall be for food unto them that serve the city. And they that serve the city shall serve it out of all the tribes of Israel. All the oblation shall be 25,000 by 25,000. Ye shall offer the holy oblation foursquare with the possession of the city. And the residue shall be for the prince, on the one side and on the other of the holy habitation, and of the possession of the city, over against the 25,000 of the oblation toward the east border, and the westward over against the 25,000 toward the west border, over against the portions for the prince. And it shall be the holy oblation, and the sanctuary of the house shall be in the midst thereof. Moreover, from the possession of the Levites, and from the possession of the city, being in the midst of that which is the prince's, between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin, shall be for the prince. As for the rest of the tribes, from the east side unto the west side, Benjamin shall have a portion. And by the border of Benjamin, from the east side unto the west side, Simeon shall have a portion. And by the border of Simeon, from the east side unto the west side, Issachar shall have a portion. And by the border of Issachar, from the east side unto the west side, Zebulun a portion. And by the border of Zebulun, from the east side unto the west side, Gad a portion. And by the border of Gad, at the south side southward, the border shall be even from Tamar unto the waters of strife in Kadesh, and to the river toward the great sea. This is the land which ye shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance, and these are their portions, saith the Lord God. And these are the goings out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel, 3 gates northward, 1 gate of Reuben, 1 gate of Judah, 1 gate of Levi. And at the east side, 4,500 and 3 gates, 1 gate of Joseph, 1 gate of Benjamin, 1 gate of Dan. And at the south side, 4,500 measures, and the 3 gates, 1 gate of Simeon, 1 gate of Issachar, 1 gate of Zebulun. At the west side, 4,500 with their 3 gates, 1 gate of Gad, 1 gate of Asher, 1 gate of Naphtali. And it was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be, "The Lord is there," Yahweh Shammah. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Well, it's kind of like saying goodbye to a good friend, isn't it? Closing up the prophecy of Ezekiel. So, some commentators want to point out that in the division of the land here, that we have really something that belongs to its own chapter, so that the 47th chapter from 13 to the end of the book really ought to be divided into one chapter. And that's a possibility, because we talk about dividing the land there and here. There is a division here of the land that is given to all of the people of God. The tribes are named, and there are some things that are difficult, obscure, hard to understand here, but the theme is very clear. The first portion of it is that when we go to divide the land, note verse 2, "and by the border of Dan." Now we must remember something about Dan. When we remember the spreading out of the children of Israel into their habitations in the days of Joshua and beyond, that Dan themselves, in Judges chapter 18, had a portion toward the south. And they looked upon their portion and they said, "We don't like it. We don't like our portion at all. What the Lord has given us is certainly not as good as what He's given everybody else." And so they murmured and they complained about the Lord's portion that He'd given them. And this is seen in Judges chapter 18, and in theology and Old Testament studies, we call this the Danite migration. And so the Danite migration takes place in Judges 18, where they go all the way to the north. And so we have this statement that we hear all the time in the Old Testament, from Dan to Beersheba, right? Because Dan went north of the rest of the tribes where the Lord had not given them any land. And they found a people there. It was called Lachish. And they found a people there that were at ease, idle, not very well defensed. And so Dan moved in and took their land. And the Lord upbraided them for it. In fact, such an upbraiding did they get that in the book of Revelation, the Lord did not see fit to include the tribe of Dan in the counting of the 144,000 of all of the tribes. Dan was left out. So this is one of those times where we look at Revelation and Ezekiel and we see a distinction. Whereas we've seen a lot of agreement as we've studied through, here we see a distinction. And we might ask, why that distinction? Well, I think it is simply indicative of the mercy and forgiveness of God that in this after church, as Ezekiel describes, notice Dan is there. They're mentioned first, and they are at the far north where they chose to go. And so we see a picture there of the forgiveness and restoration of the Lord in Christ Jesus in the church. So then, in the second portion, it will not do us to talk tribe by tribe by tribe, but I hope that there was something that you noticed as we read through this, and that is that all of the borders were contiguous one with another. That is, they were set up in such a way that they were right next to their brethren. They weren't separated out and cast out and spread throughout the face of the earth. In what is described here, they were in very close proximity to one another. Can I just take that as an implication? That as the people of God, we should not build walls between one another and separate ourselves unnecessarily from one another? And that as far as it lies within us, that we should be at peace and share our borders and love one another as we ought? So we have this statement of a very close proximity with regard to the people of God. So that takes us to the center portion of the passage, beginning long about verse 8 and 9. And in that section, we have something that we've already seen. We saw, I guess it was three chapters ago, we looked at the huge proportions of the land, the 25,000 reeds or rods on every side of this holy place, and how that the holy place itself occupied, if that was a literal understanding, a piece of or a tract of land larger than Jerusalem ever was. And so we understood that this is prophetic of the great expansiveness of the church, and all of these same dimensions are reiterated again, just as they were back three chapters ago. They're reiterated here again to remind us of the greatness of the church in the days of Christ. How big, how expansive, how broad. And that there is a place for everyone. There is a place for the priests. There is a place for the Levites. There is a place even for the prince to dwell among his people. Then there is what was called the profane place. Now don't think profane as a place, okay, well that's where all the wicked people get to go. No, don't think of it that way. Think of it as the holy place where folks come to worship. And then the profane place where they do everything else. Right? Those things that are not explicitly worship. So when they approach the Lord, they have this huge piece of land, right? 10,000 reeds by 25,000 reeds. And I hope that you notice that the profane place was the smallest portion of the city. The smallest portion. So that speaks of the holiness of the people of God in our day. The provision of the church is that she will be well furnished, not with gold or silver, but with the furnishings of sound doctrine, sound ministers, and sound people. The whole area, like we saw earlier, but here it is said over and over again, the whole place is an oblation to the Lord. Right? And so this church, this is a church that the Lord Jesus Christ himself has purchased with his own blood that he may do what? What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15? That he may present it to God, that he may offer it up, that God will be all in all. You remember that in toward the end of 1 Corinthians 15? Or how about in Ephesians chapter 5, where the apostle there writes that the church is the bride of Christ, and what does he do? He washes her with the water of the word that he may do something with her. What is it? That he may present her. And so this whole area that we speak of here in Ezekiel 48 is the offering of Christ unto his Father. It is large. It is well furnished. It is a wonderful place. There's a place for everyone in the church. They need not be preachers or ministers, but out of every tribe, there is a place for service. There is a place for habitation. And then the prince is to have sway in all, in verse 21. He's to have sway in it all, and he shall have his possession. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the church. And here his own propriety is seen. Now this is not the first time the prince has been mentioned. We've seen him before, haven't we? He's the one that comes in through the east gate. But even before that, prophesied in this prophecy, in Ezekiel chapter 12, long about verse 12, we have talk of another prince Do you remember that prince? Who's going to depart from the city with his head covered and his eyes closed so that he will not see the ground? Remember him? Prophesied of King Zedekiah, who would leave the city in shame and try to escape Babylon. He is called the prince. But there is another prince who will not ever be seen departing from the city. He will be seen coming into the city. And he will take his residence among the inhabitants of the city. And he will have his portion. Yea, all of it will be his as an oblation to his father. This is the true prince. And so, after we detail out all of those other tribes, that they, like the tribes of the north, these tribes of the south are also married up together. They're right next to each other, that they may be in close proximity to one another for help and comfort and encouragement. What is the name of the place? What other name could it have? Because she is inhabited by the prince. What other name? Is she called Jerusalem? Sure, she's called Jerusalem. But how are we told to remember her here? We're told to remember her as Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is there. Our Lord Jesus Christ worships with his people. He is with us to the end of the age, he said. I will be with you, he said, in the person of my spirit. And he is the God who came and tabernacled among us. Yahweh Shammah. Thus ends the reading then, and we say goodbye for now to the prophecy of Ezekiel and look forward to the prophecy of Daniel next week. Let's stand and